minutes this morning. As the bulletin says, I want us to consider, what is my responsibility to the local church? I want to do another sermon along this line, probably in a couple of months, and just focus on responsibilities that we can learn from 1 Corinthians, because there are several things in there as it relates to that church. This lesson will be on various topics and looking at the church itself. Brother Chris read to us Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That is one of the responsibilities that we have as being a member of a local church, is considering one another, how to stir up to love and good works. But before we get into looking at our responsibility to the local church, we need to consider how the word church is used in the New Testament. It's used in a universal sense, including all the saved. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Was he talking about the New Lebanon Church of Christ? No, he was talking about the church universal. There's a universal church. Hebrews 12:22, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. The general assembly and church. Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Again, did he add to the New Lebanon church? No, we didn't even exist at that time. He added them to the universal church. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. And again, that fits in with Ephesians 5:23 we read, where he is the savior of the body. Now, we have the example of the Ethiopian eunuch being baptized in Acts 8. So he was baptized and added to the church, but when we read of him at that time, we do not read of him belonging to a local congregation. So to look at the universal church, the universal church is a spiritual relationship to God and to Christ. When we are baptized and added into that universal church, the universal church has no organization. You can't find it in the universal church. In the universal church, it has no work. It is not a functional body. It is unlimited by place. It is Christians all over the world. The universal church has no common treasury. And the Lord knows the number of individuals in the universal church. We do not. But because of our relationship to Christ in the universal body, there are individual activities which we are required to carry out in the local church. Because of our relationship with Christ in the church, we are to carry out activities in the local body. We're a Christian 24 hours a day, 365 days out of a year. And every action should reflect our relationship to Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, the scriptures teach that as a Christian, as a member of the church universal, that we are also to be associated with a local church. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and beginning at verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So this is shortly after Saul has been converted, after he's been baptized, and it says he came to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples. Why would he try to join the disciples if he didn't need to? If he could just be a member at large, why would he try to join the disciples? And notice, Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples. Why did Barnabas bring him to the disciples? Because Barnabas wanted to show that this man was worthy of being associated with that group. You go on a couple more chapters to Acts chapter 11 and verse 25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year that he assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So here we see Paul being located in an area and working with people. Acts 13:1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. It goes on to mention them. These people were located in the church at Antioch. So the local church is an entity. It has a local identity. The church at Corinth was different than the church at Jerusalem. The church at Corinth and the church at Jerusalem were different than the seven churches of Asia. The local church takes collective action. As we come together as a group, we can take exercise discipline. We can read about that in 1 Corinthians 5:4, when you're gathered together, where they had problems in the church there. Matthew 18 talks about if someone sin, goes to them. If that person, if you can't work it out, go back with a couple more people. If it's you still can't work it out, then tell it to the church. The church, which church do you tell it to? The local church where you are associated with. We take part in collective worship. Colossians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. We know all of these things where we come together and we participate together. A local church can select and appoint qualified leaders, elders. Acts 6, it talks about them selecting out from among them men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over business. You stop and think about, and again, this is just to lay a little groundwork for what we are to do and to show the distinction between the local church and the universal church. Because I'm sure we all have family and friends that don't think that they need to be involved in work at a certain place, or if they are, they can do that once a month, once every 6 months, once a year, and we just can't read about that in the Bible. And you stop and think about some of the arguments that people use. If a person says, I don't believe in being associated with a group of people in a location, if that's okay for that person, then it would be okay for all of us. And then the church would just disintegrate. It would cease to exist because people weren't banding together to carry out the work. You talk about appointing elders over a congregation. This the same thing. Would that, if elder have to be a member of that local congregation? I hope we would all say yes. But if you think the other way, that you don't have to associate, you can just see how disorganized the body would be. And friends, the Lord's church is not disorganized. He left us a written blueprint of what he wants us to do, the work he wants us to do, how we are to fund it, how we are to carry it out. It's, again, the blood-bought, heaven-sent, spirit-filled institution of the church, the Lord's church that he purchased with his precious blood that we are to be a part of. And you see people, and I hear people talk about this, and I was talking with someone just Friday, and they were talking about this path that is people are being led down to, where they don't even have to associate with a local group, and they'll just stay home and watch a church service on their computer or on TV. Friends, that's not what God the Son died for. He died for us to come together. And again, when we look at Corinthians, it talks about so many times in the assembly. There's a reason to come together in the assembly. We read about elders being told to shepherd the flock among them. So, have you ever seen sheep that were just sheep at large, that were just out roaming around? No. Sheep flock together, and that's the example that we have. We are told in Hebrews 13:17 to obey them that have the rule over you. Those that have the rule over us at large? No, it's in a location. So there is a distinction between the church universal and the local church. So we want to look at what are our responsibilities to the local church. The first thing I want us to consider is that we owe the local church the same kind of allegiance that we owe our Lord, for it is the body of Christ. You can't separate the church from Christ. Some people will say, well, I want Jesus as my Savior, but I don't want to belong to a local church. I just want Jesus. Friends, you can't separate that. You cannot separate that. And we owe the same allegiance to his church, his body. We are the body. People confuse this building with the church. We are the church, and we cannot separate ourselves from that. 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So each one of us individually make up the body of Christ. Now there are problems in the local church because we're all human. We're all going to sin. But that's the human side of the church. And we want to focus on the divine side. When local churches have problems, we need to work them out. Sometimes there are problems in the local church because people do not have the same kind of allegiance to the church as they do to Christ. So what happens? They say, I love the church, but not when it's hunting season, not when it's ball season, not when this or that is going on. You can't separate them. They say, I love the church, but not when the family's in town. When the family's in town, I'm going to go and do with them whatever they want to do. I love the church, but not on Sunday night, not on Wednesday night. That's my time. You see, friends, we can't separate the church from Christ. We owe this local body. How can we exhort and encourage and provoke each other to love and good works if we aren't together to do that? How can we do that? We owe the same allegiance to the local church that we do to Christ. If we have divided loyalties, God is not going to accept us. Well, a second point, we owe the local church the exhortation that we mutually need to remain steadfast. As Chris read, we are to provoke one another to love and good work. Some translations say stimulate. We are to stimulate. We are to teach and admonish each other when we come together in song. And I tell you, whenever I come here and just look out over the audience, I am encouraged. I am exhorted. I am stimulated. when I see Jim with everything that he's gone through with his stents and his open heart surgery and his infection, and he's out here today. He's a big encouragement. And Bill, I could go right down the line with everybody. Brother Kent, we've been praying for him for the last year and a half, 2 years, and he's an encouragement when he stands up here. And friends, we are the body of Christ in this location. And how can we exhort and encourage each other? If I'm not here, I can't exhort and encourage you. If I stand up here and I look out and I don't see people out there and I wonder, where are they? Are they okay? Did something happen to them? Do they need help? We come together to mutually exhort and encourage each other to remain steadfast. Because if we don't, what's going to happen? Satan's going to pick us off. He's going to pick us off. He's going to take us back into the world. And we can all become discouraged. I mean, that's a given. We can become discouraged. Galatians 6:9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." It's easy to get discouraged, I'll admit that. I get discouraged, and sometimes I'm thinking of things happening on my timeline instead of God's timeline. You know, we live in an instant microwave. We used to say microwave society. Now it's how fast your phone or your computer will download something. Super, super fast. That's not fast enough. I need something quicker than that. And we've lost our patience. We've lost our patience for dealing with each other, for studying, for doing the Lord's work. We get discouraged, but let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Sister Pauline, she's not here today. She's an encouragement to every one of us when she comes. When we come together, the Lord in His wisdom made provision the local church for us to help one another. Galatians 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Again, how are we going to do that if we don't know what's going on with each other? Romans 12:6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Let us use our gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever talent, whatever ability that God has given us, we are not to go out and bury it. We are to use it. And where do we use it? Well, it starts off here in the local body. And stop and think about it this way. If there's something that you, when we come together, we don't come together to get something from this service. We come together to offer up our worship and love and adoration to God. And when we all do that together, we're going to get something from that when we leave. We're going to be exhorted and feel the love and encouragement to go on and start the week. But if we don't come here, we aren't going to get anything. We aren't going to get anything. So we owe the local church a mutual exhortation that we need to remain steadfast. We owe the local church, number three, the faithful attendance to its work. I don't think I need to mention that here too much, because I know everybody makes every they make every effort to be here every time. This is a commendable group. You can see a lot of congregations, whatever the number is on Sunday morning, it's a whole lot less on Sunday evening. We don't have that problem here. This group has learned that lesson. We owe the church faithful attendance to its work. We must participate in all the efforts and in opportunities in worship and studies. You just stop and think about, and I'll just use an example of one time a week, a Christian that comes just one time a week to the local assembly. Are you going to call on him to be a teacher? Does he know his Bible well enough to be a teacher? You think he's going to be a preacher? You want to have him preach for you? You want to appoint him as an elder? Well, why don't we all see that we all need to come together to grow, to benefit and grow? The Bible classes, when everybody's here, Wednesday night, that is one of the highlights of my week. Not because I'm teaching, but I'm hearing everything that everybody, all of your ideas and thoughts, and it builds us up. We won't be built up if we don't have faithful attendance. A fourth point we owe the local church is our financial support. We owe the local church our financial support 52 weeks out of the year. Why do I say 52 weeks out of the year? Because we are told on the first day of the week we are to give. Well, do we just pick out 1 week every 6 months or 1 week a year? And why does it say on the first day of the week? Because the expectation is that we are coming together every first day of the week. And as we come together, we want to give back to the Lord. It's not our money. If I go out and work, when all of us go out and work, it's not my money. It's the money that God has given us to be stewards of. And he wants us to give back to the church to carry out his work that he has outlined for us. We have some examples of people that didn't understand that in Acts 5, verses 1 through 11, Ananias and Sapphira. They weren't honest with their money, and they thought they could give and make it appear that they were doing something different than they were doing. And I don't think they really had their heart into it. And what happened to them? God struck them dead. God struck them dead. What did Malachi, the prophet, tell God's people in the book of Malachi chapter 3? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. He said, you know, what you offer to the Lord, go offer that to your governor. He's not going to accept it. And you think that Almighty Jehovah is going to accept these sacrifices? Why do we need money? Why do we need to give, and why do we need money? Because the Lord has given us work to do. We are to evangelize, edify, and do benevolent work to the saints. The Lord has always had a treasury. You can go back and read about that in the Old Testament. First time you read about a treasury in the New Testament is when Jesus sat opposite the treasury in the temple, and what did he see? He saw the widow cast in the two mites. So there's always been a treasury for the Lord's money, and we have a detailed explanation of how we are to do it and what we are to use it for in the church. Even when you think about the Great Commission, when he tells us to baptize men, we have to go out to evangelize to do that. And when we teach those that have been baptized, we have to edify them. We use the funds to do that. And the member of a congregation has a responsibility to share in the support of the work. A fifth item, we owe the local church a proper attitude toward each and every member. We are to love one another with a pure and fervent heart. We touched on that briefly this morning in 1 Peter. A pure heart, sincerely, fervently, talks about the intensity of it. We are to love each other. And two, when you stop and think about that, and the acts of worship, and we aren't even getting into all the acts of worship on what we owe the local church, but you stop and think about why do we have a common bond with each other? Why do we have a common love with each other? It's because of the blood that we share. We all share the blood of Christ. We talk about our family and the bond that we have with them because we share the same blood, but that's the corruptible blood. As children of God, we share that incorruptible blood, the blood of Christ. And when we came here this morning, and one of the things that we did was to remember that sacrifice that he made for us. And what did Jesus say when he was instituting the Lord's Supper? He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. The blood of the new covenant. The covenant had to be ratified with blood. And sometimes we got to remember that's a personal covenant. That's a personal covenant. When you were baptized, when I was baptized, we entered into that covenant relationship with God and with Christ. And we are reminded of that when we come together and partake of that fruit of the vine, that blood that was shed so that we might have that covenant relationship. And what is a covenant? It's a legal contract. It's a legal contract. You might have something in the workplace going on. You might have something, you're renting a home from a landlord, an issue comes up, you pull out the contract. What's the contract say? It spells out who's to do what you're to receive, what the benefits are. Friends, we should be reminded of that every time, how the great blessings that we have. When we come together, we are to bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. We are to restore one another, Galatians 6:1, James 5:19 and 20. We are to follow after the things that make for peace. There's a lot of congregations that peace does not exist in them. If you don't come together and talk, that's not going to make for a peaceful situation. That's not going to solve things where it's disruptive. We are not to be filled with strife and envying. We're to lay aside all evil speaking. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're to do nothing through strife or vain glory. We're to have the mind of Christ. We have a lot of responsibilities to the local church, not just because it's got a sign out front and this is what we've always done. But we've got a responsibility to the local church because it is the body of Christ, and individually we are members of it, and we are privileged to be members of it because he left heaven. He gave up everything that he had in heaven, and he came to this earth, which was a big sacrifice to start with, and then he suffered and he bled. And he died, not for anything that he had done wrong, but because of what I have done wrong, because I have transgressed his law. And then some people want to be baptized. They want Jesus as their Savior, but not their Lord. And then how do they treat the local church? As if it's just an incidental. Friends, when we understand what Christ has done for him, we're going to better understand our responsibility to him. So God, in his infinite wisdom, he provided this congregational arrangement so his people could come together and grow and study and learn and lean on each other. And when life gets heavy, we can lift each other up. When we are struggling with sin, we can help each other overcome sin. We can do all of that. And along with that, we have an obligation to promote the cause of Christ, to save others. We want to keep each other saved, and we want to save those that are lost. Ephesians 4:16. from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Friend, are you paying what you owe the local church? That's a question you have to answer. I have to answer that too. A question we have to ask before that, are you a member of the church? Jesus is the Savior of the body. The only way we can get into the body is to be baptized into the body. If you aren't a member of the church, you have no hope. God has done everything to make it possible that you can be part of that, and then you aren't left on your own. That's why he has the local church to help encourage each other, to work together, to help keep each other saved, that we might all go to heaven. If you're not a member of the church, when we stand to sing in a minute, don't you want to come forward? Or if you have been baptized, but you've let sin get in your life, and you aren't living as you ought to, don't you want to come forward then and make yourself right with God? Repent in your mind and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Repent of those sins and ask God to forgive you. And you can have that hope that we have, that hope to look forward to, that home in heaven. If anybody needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.